Addition, a couple of times we had some technical issues with not being able to update the slides. So what I'll do is we'll start here. There'll be some in between that I'll put for reference purposes if anybody uses the slides. There'll be a gap between some of these slides. So I'll start here on 175. We'll start here and I'll go down a list. And I may go further than the slides will actually go. It just depends how much we can actually talk about. I want to try to finish up this part. And I'm going to be getting to the origins, talking about some of the origins. And it gets into, and this, you know, it turned out that we're still doing this. And I know it's the season that, you know, is in. And here it is. When you get back at it, again, it's just your mind starts to think about it. But, again, when I started this series, it's not what I think about it. My whole purpose of the series is what's God's perspective. That's my job. My job is to tell you God's perspective on this. And the only way I can get God's perspective, it's not like I said, hey, God, what's your perspective? I don't have to do that. I went to His Word. He tells us what His perspective is. He tells us in the Word. We have to decide whether or not that's, you know, we want to take that into consideration. Being we're going to serve Him. And how many is here to honor Him? How many want to please Him? How many have asked God for anything? You expect it when you ask? You ever ask God for something? Do you expect it? Well, sure we do. That's why we're asking. Well, what if He asks us, this is how I'd like you to, you know, remember, after all, I'm God, beside me there's no other. This is His quotes. And this is how you serve me. If you're going to serve me, it's on my terms. Is that important? Is that something we should take into consideration? If not, what's the other thing? So let me tell you what we've done when we came to the Lord. How many? Let me use a few examples. How many, and I'll skip around on some of these examples. How many in here ever you was taking substance abuse, and it was pretty heavy? But when you come to the Lord and made a decision, do you still think that that's something that you could do? You kind of settled that, right? Let's not do that, right? That's pretty simple. What about the way we did things, not just in that, but in general, things that we knew wasn't right, but we were doing them. But when we came to the Lord, what we did, we changed that because we felt that. Well, this is a little different in the fact that systematically you were introduced to it over a long period of time and you grew up in it. And it was never seen as, quote, wrong. But when you did the other things, it was always something you knew was wrong, but you did it anyway. So you understand, you're dealing with a separate set of emotions and trying to understand this whole thing. So taking this whole thing on, it's so much easier just to leave it like it is. You know, let's just go to church, let's do what we do, leave it like it is, and let's just go on. The problem is what we journeyed to do was to seek the truth. Remember, that was our goal. Our goal was to come together as a church and what? We want the truth. Remember when I started this? What's the quote that I done from the movie there? You know, you can't handle the truth. You know, because the question was, what do you want from me? He said, I want the truth. And so you get to a certain point in your relationship, if you're seeking God, if you're seeking Him, He said, seek me and I'll be found. Call upon me while I'm near. If you're doing that, you got to be careful because you're going to find stuff that maybe you wasn't signed up to find. And so you can't say, well, I want truth, but I only want certain truth. You see? So we come to some truths and you keep searching and you keep finding, and you're looking in the scripture, and you go, what are we doing here? And you can't say, well, I don't want that truth. Can we do that? Can we be selective in what truth he reveals to us? No, he said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. But that doesn't even make sense if you're saved already. Because you already obtained stuff. So what does he mean, you hunger and thirst for righteousness? Because when we first come to the Lord, we have come to that knowledge, and we're in the family of God, but there's stuff inside of our life that he wants to work on. That's why we have to hunger and thirst for more righteousness, to be in right standings with God. And so you've been in right standings with God, but how many want to come to a position in your life where you're doing everything you know? It's almost like, you know what? It would be so much easier if we could just shake our head and just go back. That's easy. But the moment you do that, you're going to disappoint God. Because he brought us to, it'd be like saying, you know what? It's the same cry. This is nothing different. You know, this verse of scripture says, what has been is what will be. And what has been done is what will be done. And there's nothing new under the sun. Oh, would to God we back in Egypt. Listen, it's not just today's generation parroting that. They've been doing this. Maybe we just need to go back to Egypt. You know, be a slave. Be under that bondage. What did he do? He set them free. What did he start doing? Start revealing truth to them. You can't do that. Well, that's what we did. But no, you can't do that. Not serve God. And then they got to the point where, man, it's easier just to go back. Well, let me tell you, to go back, you never get to the promised land. That's the downside to it. You can go back. Anybody can go back, but you never get to the promised land. And what's your goal? Is your goal to spend eternity with Yeshua and the Father? Isn't that amazing? Is that our goal? Well, you got to weigh it out. You weigh it out against eternity. Everything that you struggle with, you weigh it out. Because let me tell you, it's not going to be. And I felt this all this week, just because you're watching commercials and you go to the store. You know, you go to the store and the music's playing. I'm just being real with you. This is what happens. People feel this. And I'm feeling like some people's really struggling. And that's just part of it. And it's a struggle for people to try to balance this thing out. So I'm going to, again, it's not what I think. I'm giving you God's perspective on what you see in Scripture. So I want to continue in that. I just want you to know that I'm very aware and very, I want to be sensitive to the stuff that's happening. But it doesn't change. Remember I said this, you can't undo the truth. It's the truth. I mean, you can't undo it. And we can reason with it. We can try to say, well, it's not that big a deal. You know, we can make it where it's not that big a deal. And it could very well be to each other. But it's not what we're talking about. The question is it a big deal to God? That's the question. What does God think about it? So, listen, we have been duped. And our Creator appeals for us to come back to the only Word of God. To leave the sun god ways behind. Constantine took all that was formerly sun god worship and he called it all Christian. That's why, and remember, in this investigation, when we all started, this was not what we set out to do. I never did set out to undo Christmas or undo Easter. I never set out to do that. I set out looking for the truth about who the Most High is. That was my goal. When you look into my glory, you'll be instantly changed. And I said, well, you know, excuse me, who else to study about and to find out about in the scripture than God? the Most High, Yahweh. I want to find out everything. And it was amazing to me. There was a lot of things about the Most High that we didn't know. Like, for one, what he likes, what he don't like. You know, we kind of wrapped it up like this. He loves us when we love him and we praise him, and he don't like sin. So my goal is to quit sinning. And so we, you know, we try to manage to live a decent life. That's what most Christians around the world are doing. You know, they say this, they get up, I'm not a bad person. What does that mean? Not being a bad person is like a qualification that God's, you know, happy, giving you applause. I'm not a bad person. I don't try to hurt nobody. You have to understand, we're not talking about that. We're talking about the fact that the Most High, Yahweh, he gave his only son to pay the penalty for the transgressions of men, which we've all done. We've all transgressed the commandments of God. And so he don't take it lightly. And so we shouldn't take it lightly. It's all about a relationship with the Most High. Listen, nobody is going to get there without a relationship with the Most High. I'm not going. You're not going. We got to have a relationship. We can only have that through Messiah. Only through Messiah can we have that relationship. Nobody can just go directly to the Most High and say, "What's up?" You understand? We're not allowed that. It's through Messiah. This is what Jesus says. No man can go to the Father but by me. That's clear. You know, we study in the words of Jesus throughout all of these things. I don't know how much clearer than that did it get. Nobody can go to the Father but by me. You can also use the word in translation, but through me. Understand that. Through me. So you have to be let in to those chambers and to that most holy place. So who was allowed to go in once a year into the holies of holies? The priest alone, right? Who's our high priest? He's our high priest. And so he goes in for us on our behalf. And then because of him representing us, we're then allowed that entrance that we can go to before the throne of God boldly and ask anything. Isn't that incredible? So when we pray to who? Who we pray to? Our Father who art in heaven. Remember that. How is that possible? How can sinners pray to the Most High? Through Yeshua. That's what you do. So how many see that's important to God? So it's not like we've been given some bad deal here. That's how people feel. Well, man, you can't do nothing. You go to church, you can't do nothing. And so I just felt this all week. I was like, you know what? People struggling still. And I want you to know that I'm sensitive to that. I know that's not an easy thing. But at the same time, are we willing to make that stand, take that stand? Is it a legitimate stand? Is it worth the stand? Does he deserve this stand? If we look at the history of what God expects out of a people, he separates people. Yeah, you're not going to be just like everybody. He separates. Come out from among them. Be separate. Be holy. Leave your father, your mother, and your kindred, and go to a place I'll tell you. We see that all the time in Scripture. So you say, well, it's just lonely. Well, you got to replace that. You got to replace that with other things. Because if you don't, it's going to be lonely. It's going to be tough. You know, and listen, if jingle bells makes you feel better, then that could be a problem. That could really be a problem. Because what God wants is to make you feel better. I don't know about you, but I ain't never, not one time in my life, ever said jingle bell and felt the presence of God come in this fear. But I can tell you, there have been morning after morning where I just said, you're so worthy. I look around, I'm like, you're worthy. You deserved all the glory. You deserve all the praise. And all of a sudden, you have that entrance and you go, wow. And so don't let a season, a time, because let me tell you what you do. After the season's over, you forget about it. But what he's got for us is a day in, day out. It's constant. It's a continual relationship, a love for you. That's what we got to hold on to. And he's not going to take second spot to nothing. And some people, they get all hyped up and it just feels like the best time of their life. And you think that Yahweh's going to just say, oh, yeah, that's fine. We'll let that do that for you. And then when you need me, you know, when you ever notice when somebody's on their deathbed and they're in the hospital, they're not doing that. They're not saying, you know, come on, ring those bells. Am I telling the truth or not? Like the Christmas, they're not saying that. They're saying, God, we need a miracle. So we have to be very careful. So I just want you to know that I'm very aware, and I felt that this week, of what people's struggles are. And here we are again, still dealing with this right now at this time. And we're doing this. I started it a while back. It takes time to go through, and here we are. We're right there, knocking on the door. So, listen. A little bit of deviation over a long period of time, you could be way off. And honestly, if people want to be honest, and let me tell you, if you want to know about struggling, it's a struggle for me that I can be pastoring all these years and I'm still dealing with, and I'm asking the Lord, you know, if we're not doing it right, if something's not right, then what about the people? I'd much rather have a whole audience, a full house to teach. But it's not happening. And it's what happens is because people say, well, this is what's being said. You can't do nothing there. That's a struggle. So what you have to look at it and say, okay, well, are we willing to make it easier so we can have people? Or are we just going to stick with what God said? See, so if you think you're making decisions every day, I make them all the time for the entirety of the church and the whole thing. But I'm telling you that every time you even cross your mind, it all goes back, do you want the truth? And if you do, then there it is. He just lays it out. There it is. That's the truth right there. And so, you remember Moses, he came down. And they'd already built the calf, the golden calf, and they were going to make their own little deal to Yahweh. And he told them. He come out and said, listen, here's the deal. You stay on that side, fine. If you come in on this side, come on. And the ones who stayed, they got themselves in a lot of trouble. 3,000 of them, the earth opened up and took them out. But he let them know ahead of time. And you're talking about, there's not like 10 decisions. You decide on that side or this side. There it is. For him or against him. Love him or hate him. You pick one. And let me tell you, we see that time and time again because that's the kind of God he is. God is not somebody to say, listen, if it don't fit your fancy, you know, we're kind of sand it down, water it down, stretch it out, you know, pump it up, and maybe you'll find something that'll work for you. I think he just, through scripture, he says, if you're going to serve, if you're going to live for me, if you're going to serve me, then do that. Remember, the prophet comes out and he says, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? Let's decide. Let's make today a decision day. How long will you halt between two opinions? If it's God, if it's Yahweh, then let's serve Yahweh. And if it's Baal, let's serve Baal. Either way, let's go all out. But we ain't going to ride the fence. We're not going to say, well, I don't know. And that's what people do. When people do the I don't know, that's where the suffering happens. And here's the thing about it. If you're waiting for the group to get it together, that's not what you're waiting for. What about you as an individual? As an individual person, not as a family unit, that's going to come later. If you're going to help the family unit, the individual has to decide, as for me and my house, that's what Joshua said. He said, choose you this day who you're going to serve. But as for me, first thing he did, not for us, as for us, he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Decision has to start individually first. As for me and my house. Until the individual makes the decision, you can't expect a whole lot from your house. The individual. So can you imagine if each individual here said, you know what? This is what we're doing. This is what I'm going to do. This is what we're doing. And as a congregation, it's not something that the congregation has to decide, because you have all those deciding factors already happened. Just come and congregate. It's already done. So I'm going to wait and see what the church does. No. We got to wait and see what the individual does. Me, for me. When I look at the scripture, this is what it tells me to do. And then the leader of that home shares it with the house. The household does the same thing. You bring all those households in one group together called the church. And there you go. It's not a decision the church makes. It's individuals make decisions. Because I'm not going to, you know, here. Well, pastor decided. I decide anything. I'm here to tell you what the Lord said. So hopefully this helps with people's struggles. And if you know somebody struggling, tell them they need to listen to this. Because it's going to really help them. All right? We've been duped, and our Creator appeals to us to come back to the only Word of God. And leave the sun god ways behind. Constantine took all that was formerly sun god worship and called it all Christian. Just because you call it Christian, don't make it Christian. You can call it whatever you want. That's what's been happening for years. It's been happening the same way. It's called Christian. At the Council of Nicaea, he forced all believers in the Messiah to abandon all scriptural worship practice. Does that sound right? How can you be a believer in Messiah and you abandon scriptural worship practice? How's that possible? But he forbid that, including the Sabbath observance. No Sabbath. Pesach, Passover, no Passover, Sukkot, no tabernacle, you can't do that no more, and each other appointed time. He made it illegal to only eat clean and force the eating of unclean things such as pig. Now, I'm just telling you the history. If you want to know how this all started, this is what was done. If you go back and read the historical account, you want to know how these things came about? That's how they came about. So, why is that? I mean, you know, if we're talking about giving people freedom to worship the way they want, and that's true. You know, you can do whatever you want. If you want, you can worship. You know, when we go to Nepal, we see people worship all sorts of things. They worship trees and tractors and leaves and stones and bricks and idols. You're free to do whatever you want. I mean, and they obviously do it. There's 33 million gods in the Hindu practice. So, I mean, they got them. They got plenty enough. They don't run short on gods. I'm going to tell you that. I mean, if you're not feeling the fancy on one of them, you just go to the next one. But what we do here in the believer, in the Christian faith, there's one God. There's one faith. There's one Lord. There's one baptism. We're not talking about a bunch of stuff. So, naturally, the rules are going to be more strenuous. They're going to be, here's the rules. You don't have to kind of juggle them around. Here they are. Makes it not as appealing when there's not a lot of flexibility. When there's a lot of flexibility, you know, we're not really going to touch on this. I can tell you, this message is not being preached in mainstream church. Not going to happen. Because you don't want to empty out seats. You're trying to fill seats. And what I'm trying to do is just tell you the truth. This is what it says. And I always tell you, go look up this stuff for yourself. It's available. It's easy to read stuff. And you check it out. And then you have to ask yourself, what am I doing that's giving God the glory and the praise? And should we just say, God, why don't you bend and bow to these changes that were made by a guy like Constantine. He made it illegal to only clean and forced them to. He changed all customs and observed holy days to those times which the pagans had been observing for thousands of years to honor the sun god. This is the same thing that every antichrist in history has also done. For example, we can read about the Maccabees period, in which Antiochus Epiphanes did the exact same thing. Even Daniel mentioned the changing of the appointed times and laws. In Daniel 7:25, he shall speak words against the Most High. Talking about the Antichrist. So every Antichrist is not just, they're all going to do the same thing because they're what? Antichrist. They're anti, against Christ. He shall speak words against who? The Most High. He's going to speak words against the Most High. And shall wear out the saints of the Most High. Wear them out. Sometimes, listen, it's okay. Sometimes you know what? You might say, I'm just worn out. What to do? Let me tell you what you do. Keep pressing in and seeking the Lord. Hunger for Him and His presence. And you keep pushing and keep pushing and keep pushing and keep pushing. I'm going to tell you this. Breakthrough is going to come for those who keep pushing. We're going to see the hand of God. It's going to be powerful. When it's going to happen, I don't know when it's going to happen, but I know one thing, He's faithful. You can't do right and it not be rewarded. That's a fact. You do right, the best you can, the best of your ability, you do right, and it'll be rewarded. And shall think to change, watch this, what He's going to change? Times and laws. You think maybe Constantine fits in that category? What about Antiochus Epiphanes? You think he fit in that? They all did it. They changed in times and laws, and we see that in historical account. That is what all antichrists do. Time and time again. Constantine accomplished something that no other person before him accomplished. After merging everything together like some strange religious sun god soup, he proceeded to continue to call himself and everyone else Christian. Same thing going on today. There's lots of Christians in the United States. Lots of Christians. If we took all the Christians, I'm Christian. How many of you have ever met people over the years? And they go, oh man, you're Christian? Man, that's good. I meet a lot of Christians, especially in what I do for a living. I meet a lot of Christians, you know. And I'm thinking about, man, I misread that book. I had to misread that book. You know, you're trying to think, okay, what is going on here? You know, I've had people where they'll come and say, hey, you know, can we pray before we go out? Well, absolutely. I'm all about praying. Really? You a Christian? I'm a pastor. A pastor. Man, this is great, man. We got a pastor. I'm going to be telling you, we feel safe already. So I said, all right, let's pray. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for, you know, I'm praying and everybody's cool. Then all of a sudden, you know, it just stuff. I'm going, what's happening here? Am I missing it? Stuff, language, like, I'm like, what is going on here? And it's no, I'm sorry. Hey, excuse me. Hey, it's an automatic, natural thing. You don't feel no. There's no feeling whatsoever. It just, because that's what they do. And when they go to church, everybody does it. Everybody's doing the same thing. So naturally they feel, and let me tell you, they are wide open. They'll tell you in a second, I'm a believer, I love Jesus. I love Him. And that, I mean, got in these conversations, I'm like, wow, I'm missing something here. What am I missing? Either I'm missing something or they're missing something. What is it? You know, read the scripture and we look at something different. But it's not being said. It's not popular. Nobody wants to be told they're doing wrong. Nobody wants to be told they got to fix stuff. Nobody wants to be told that's not right. And you know what? So because of that, all the repentance stuff in Scripture, we could throw all that out because we don't even need those verses. But let me tell you, there's times where I know that I got to call upon the Lord and say, God, you know what, my attitude, that wasn't right. And I felt bad about that. I shouldn't have had that type of attitude. And those thoughts, that wasn't right. Because you said, you know, I go back to the Word. That's what makes me say that. I go back to the Word. You said, you know, but by prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving, we let our requests be made known. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep our heart and mind through Christ. Finally, brother, whatsoever things are true, just, pure, honest, loving, and of good report, if there be any virtue, any praise, think on these things. You know, you're so like, what are you going to do? Disregard that? And I'm not thinking on those. I was thinking about something else. And so you got to go to the Lord and say, God, that's wrong. You got to be willing to admit that. Say, I'm sorry. And because all of a sudden you feel a disconnect. You know, that open door where the Spirit of the Lord moves in and you all of a sudden you got a weeping moment you can't control. Because you're looking at the sun come up and you go, my God, this is unbelievable how awesome God is. You know? And if people, they're not afraid to admit that. Had a guy the other day, he says, he's just standing there, he's like, there's nobody in the world can tell me there ain't no God. Look at this. And we all just staring there, and the sun just starting to go down, you know, hitting the water. He said, there's got to be a God. My question is, though, do you serve him? See, people comes to realization about a God. There's got to be a God. Well, no kidding. You and millions of people around the world believes that. But we're not talking about just a God. We're talking about the Most High. When you put that definite article, the Most High, is a difference. It's a separation. It's not a God. A God, there's an a God, an a God, an a God, an a God, but the Most High? Remember, it's like the guys fishing. He didn't, you know, their boats got nets in the boat. He didn't say, put a net down. He said, put the net down. It's very, very, put that net, that one right there, the net. Not on any side. A side, they could have picked. Right? But he said, on the right side. So he separates. And what happens, and that was a whole series that I did long time ago on getting the right network, but it's just the Lord. Thank you for reminding me of that. And let me tell you, this is a very important time, very valuable time for us. Many believers in Messiah who are obeying the commandments and worshiping on Sabbath and keeping the appointed times, who refused to give up their walk of obedience to the Scripture, were killed. Isn't that something? And we can read that, all the martyrdom that took place in the early apostle days. You talk about sold out for God? Listen, we're not suffering anything. So it's tough at this time of the year, really. Listen to the message Sunday before last. I'm going to talk about tough. These guys, the early apostles, they were sold out, 100% sold out. They didn't care what you did to them. They knew that they believed in the Most High through Yeshua HaMashiach. They knew it. And you take all my stuff away, go on, take it away. At the end of the day, they knew it wasn't affecting them, so they started killing them. And they killed and killed and killed, and the church still grew. And we know what to do. Here's what we do. Let's become that church. Let's hijack it. That's what we'll do. Trick from the enemy. Trick from the enemy. Same cunning craftiness he used in the garden. He said, let's hijack that because they grow no matter what. You kill them, they still grow. It's got to be something. So that's what we'll do. And that's what they did. That slow massaging and changing. And before you knew it, the church started drifting off with the adversary a little bit at a time. And now you go back, stand up, and you go back and say, hey, we're going to keep Passover. Oh, but y'all going to go back and get under the law now? And this is from brothers. You understand? It's difficult to leave that, especially when you can have an emotion. Calling the move of God, you have an emotion, and then you can have all kind of falls, breakdowns, divorce, church separations, you name it, fighting each other, deacons fighting deacons, preachers fighting preachers. You can have all that happening within that body, and oh, you know, it's just some of the things that happen. Really? Come out from it. We're not different. There's no difference there. We're doing the same thing the world's doing. The only thing we do is we show up on Sunday morning, we sing three songs, we hear some word, and we go home. And we feel good about ourselves. Difference is not how you paint the outside, but it's what's going on in the inside. What's your love and compassion for the Lord? You know, you're willing to lay your life on the line. So let me tell you, you get an opportunity to do that. So you know what? You're going to be called some things this coming month. You're going to be said things too this coming month. You know what? Are you willing to take that? They were burned alive. They were sawed asunder. They were fed to the animals. They pulled their limbs off. They stretched them and pulled them apart. Balled them and all. Nobody's going to go through that because they think they're on to something. They knew, without a doubt, they had an encounter with the Lord. So somebody's going to be call you something. That's okay. That's what you got to be willing to say. You know what? That's fine. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord the way we see it. You're going to be called all sorts of cult religions and all that stuff. That's just going to be the way it is. So this is what we see unfolding. It's amazing that this, and I'm just showing you history. You want to talk about the history of it? This is how it all. In the 5th century, the Western church ordered Messiah's birth to be celebrated forever on the day of the old Roman feast of the birth of the sun. It is in the interest of preserving their sun god ways and traditions, they simply changed the name and switched out the sun god with our Messiah. Let me ask you something. You think that God really needs people to switch out so somehow he becomes popular now? Where in the scripture do we find anywhere where he says for us to celebrate the birth of Christ? Well, he says to them, this particular day I want you to celebrate. We don't find it in particular. We have a good reading of it. It's something that we can recognize. But we're not commanded to celebrate it. But yet it was commanded under penalty to celebrate. But it was ironic that it was on the same days that they were already celebrating sun god feasts and festivals. We're going to see why that was. Does that sound like something God would do or Satan would do? Do you think God needs to hijack anything? What's the point if you're the Most High? What can you hijack if you're the Most High? That's silly to even think. You don't need to hijack anything if you're the most. You're already the Most High. Where are you going? How can you get higher if you're the Most High? But Satan is not the Most High. And ever since his creation, he's trying to obtain the Most High status. So what is he going to do? Hijack everything that the Most High has put in place. And call it Christian. Would God want his son to be celebrated on a sun god's birthday? Or would Satan love to watch God's people celebrate on that day that he made? I'm going to ask you, who's the most happiest this time of the year? God or Satan? It's a great question. Who's the most happiest right now, this time of the year? The answer is not me. No, we can't be in the equation. Who's the most happy, God or Satan? Think about it. Who do we want to follow? Who do we want to follow? It was the celebration of the birth of the sun god in ancient Rome that was accompanied by profusion of lights, torches, and decoration of trees. To facilitate the acceptance of Christian faith by the pagan masses, the Church of Rome found it expedient to make not only the day of the sun the weekly celebration of Christ's resurrection, but also the birthday of the invincible sun god on December 25th, the annual celebration of Christ's birth. And you can find that in Samuel's, but and that's an Italian name there, if you want to try it, the date of the meaning of Christmas. You can look that up. When the so-called fathers of the church in A.D. 440 decided upon a date to celebrate the event, they chose the day of the winter solstice, which was firmly fixed in the minds of the people and was already their most important festival. It was certainly quite convenient for Constantine to adopt this common custom as the birthday of the Messiah. At the time, he was trying to merge the world's religions of Mithraism and Christianity. And that's what you have today. If you want to know what's the merger, the big merger, is Mithraism and Christianity merged together. That's what you have. Now, we have all of our little side shoots of everybody's ideas, and you call their belief system or statements of faith, and that's why you have so many different types of religions within the Christian faith. But the main merger that took place was Mithraism and Christianity is the coming together. And that was just because they realized they're not going to quit. They're sold out. We're killing them by the thousands, and they're still growing. Their people's coming, they're leaving this practice. So it was all about protecting the money, protecting the government, because church was government then. They ruled everything. They were the authorities. They decided who lived, who died. They set up the tax codes. They did everything that was ran from the church. And let me tell you, if you think there's any difference today, we need to wake up. Because still today, the Vatican has very powerful, powerful, powerful decision-making throughout the world. And that's something we need to wake up to and realize this is a serious matter. Why did the Roman Church fix December 25th as the day to honor the Messiah's birth when it was clearly a pagan festival day? There is many opinions on this. The prevailing reason was that they justified the switching by insisting that the birth of the Son was appropriate because they would still be celebrating the birth day of the Son of Righteousness. And that's, see Malachi 4:2. You can put that down in your notes. However, this flavor of thinking began happening well before it was all solidified into law. And that they would say, you know, this plot went on for a long time on how we can get the masses. Because remember, killing wasn't working, they were still growing, so we got to gain their numbers. We need their numbers, and that was the way to do it. Those who weren't strong and steadfast in the faith, seeing that there was another alternative, that they didn't lose their life. Yet they didn't have to give up so much. They could still be Christian, quote Christian. But we see history proves if you swim with the fish, you get slime on you. History proved that. Excuse me. Others with great regard to good manners, it must be confessed, suppose that the Son is the God of the Christians. Because it is a well-known fact that we pray toward the east, or because we make Sunday a day of festivities. And Tertullian in 155 to 225 A.D., and you can look that up in Nicene Fathers in Volume 3, page 123, if you're interested in reading more about it. There it is. Believe it or not, Tertullian has been called the father of Latin Christianity and the founder of Western theology. It should be a little disturbing that a supposed church father believed himself to basically be a sun god worshiper. Now you understand the type of thinking that caused us to be in such a theological mess. The end result is it stands today, as it stands today, is a a perverse adoption of the pagan practice of sun god worship into the Christian faith. And that's, and again, look, you think about it. Now listen, if we were the only one, the only group on this peninsula in Louisiana, I would say, you know what? We're probably a bunch of nutcases. But this is happening strategically by the Spirit of the Lord all over the world. And it's not happening to the large groups. Because you know why? They won't listen to God no more. They've been turned God off. It's all about money and more money and more money. It's about the masses. It's about entertainment. It's nothing but Hollywood. But there's little places where folks are simple. And they just love the Lord. And they've been, you know what? The truth be told, we've been misguided by our own passions and lust and the fact that we parrot. We parrot everything. Somebody said, we say. But then God says, there's been a pulling back, as it were, by the Holy Spirit. Because somebody wouldn't pray. Somebody said, you know what? Something ain't right here. Every time I go to talk to God, I feel like there's something there. There's still a little, there's a wall. What's wrong with this? Why is there this wall? When he tells me I can have this, this, and this, and this, yet I'm having this block. What is it? And so you go, God, what is it? If you'll just tell me, I'll change whatever it is you want me to change. I want to see souls saved. I want to see people have the victory. I want to see healings. I want to see miracles. And then he reveals it to you. That's happening all over the world. So it's not going to be these big numbers. But I can tell you, there's more of this move than ever. Now, with that being said, you think for a moment the devil's going to sit back and not trying to infiltrate that same move. If the tactic worked before, at the earliest stage of Christianity, will it not work with a coming back? Well, absolutely. That's his thinking. But what we need to do is be more sensitive to the things of God and say, you know what, Lord, we're not going to back down. So you're not, because we don't do that anymore, not in, at least in America, yet. They don't burn you at the stake or crucify you, but in other countries, they're killing Christians daily. But, you know, here we don't have that. So what you're going to be is that you're going to be murdered with words. You're going to be murdered with disassociation, with alienation. We got to ask ourselves, is it worth it? Is the truth worth it? If it's worth it to you, you're going to hang in there. If it's not, you're going to give in. You're going to succumb to the pressure. And I listen, you think that, if you want to know if it bothers me, it does. It bothers me a lot that people will give in to that. But I can only tell you what the Word says. This is what it says. And I'm telling you, hang in there. It's not an easy time. But that's okay. If it was just all easy, what would prompt you to pray? If you never have any trouble, how you know your faith's growing? You're going to go through stuff. You're going to feel bad some days. You know what? You say, God, I thank you. You're my healer. I'm being healed every day. You're going to have people that's going to say this. You got to say, you know what, God? That's fine. So you're going to feel all of those things. You're going to feel like you crazy. And, folks might make you want you to feel that you're crazy. Let's go back to Salinaia. We'll look at that just for a little bit because I'm going to kind of wrap this up and then I'm going to start on the last part. I mean, next Thursday, maybe two, and that's it. We're done with this a part of it. The pagan festival at Rome lasted several days, and loose reins were given to drunkenness and revelry. Does that happen during the holidays? Does anybody know of that? Whoever participated in that type of stuff? All in the name of the birth of Christ, right? Isn't that something? You understand my point? So let's not put a cover on it. Let's not Christian veneer it and say, you know, it's... Because I can tell you, most people... Yeah, who's been at Walmart lately? Did you notice the alcohol stack that they put during the holiday seasons? I'm talking about pallets full. What you need that for? We celebrating Christ. You get my point? Because it's become that. You can't associate with that pagan system and not have those demonic influences get on you to make you want to crave that. And you fight it. You have to fight it off. Because when you participate in it, you have to fight it off. Because it's there. And you know, people say, well, I can't believe they're taking Christ out of Christmas. Christ out of Christmas? Do you understand that it's not, that's just to get some people worked up to make you think that it's still there. That it's important. That's all that is, to make you feel good about yourself, that you're fighting for the cause. You want to fight for the cause? Do what we're doing. That's a real fight. That's a real cause. Because you're staying. This is what the Word says. So I'm just going to read this. This is history. You tell me if that's what's happened. The Romans lasted for several days, as pagan festivals, and loosened the reins, given to drunkenness and rivalries. This was precisely the way in which the Babylonians' midwinter festival was celebrated. But the Christian church not only adopted the 25th of the month to celebrate Messiah's birth, they also adopted the prevailing custom which the pagans had long been accustomed to during this festival. So they did not just adopt the day, but many of the traditions as well. How many know anybody that's Christian? Calls it, they quote, I'm a Christian. But they celebrate all sorts of, not these holidays, but other, what about Mardi Gras? Think that's a big deal within the church? The church is the leading factor of that celebration. Now, tell me what is religious about that. Think about it. And so, my point is when I grew up in church, there was no real separation from that. Not till much. I remember when I started pastoring, you know, I'm responsible now. When I went to church, you know, that guy's responsible. You tell me what I need to do, I'm going to try to do the best I can to live by. How many messages you think I heard preached about that? All right, so then Halloween, all those. We didn't know. There was no difference. We did it the Christian way. They did it the worldly way. That's kind of how we did it. So when I come a pastor and I start reading more and more, you know how long it takes to undo hundreds of years of this? You don't just come and do it in a year. Because before you can get to it, God's got to get to you. Remember, it's in you. So he's got to get through all of that stuff through time and time again. Go on the Lord. Say, not satisfied. Go again. Go again. Go again. Get up in the middle of the night. Go again. What is God doing? He's pulling away all of that, breaking all those ties until he finally gets to that spot and he says, listen, here's the deal. And so I come out and say it for the first time and I shock everybody, right? I'm just telling you this is the way it is. You go, what is that? There's almost more than you can chew on at the same time. You know, and it's like, you know, you take a baby, it's 1 year old, and you put a T-bone in front of them to eat that. They go, what? But you know, it's going to be very hard for a baby to eat that. But if you take it and chop it up and blend it up and get it where they can get it down, you can still get that in them. But you got to take some time. You got to really take, they're still getting it down, but you got to take some time. To leave them with it by themselves, they won't consume it because it's impossible. So this is how the Lord handled us. And I say you, he handled me the same way. I'm no different. I'm just a messenger. I've been handled the same way as you being handled. So I'm very sensitive about that. And so I hope that you've seen that throughout all these series that we've been doing, including all the feast days and all that. And let me tell you, has it been a lot or what? How much information we've had just this year? Not to mention the 2 years before that. There's been a lot of information. Thank you, Lord. If it wouldn't be for him, there'd be no way we could do it. This was precisely, excuse me. This was precisely the way in which the Babylonian midwinter festivals were celebrated. But Christian church adopted the 25th of the month To celebrate Messiah's birthday, they also adopted the prevailing customs which pagans had long been accustomed to during this festival year. So they did not just adopt the day, but many of the traditions as well. So keep that in mind. So some attempt to defend Constantine's, if you can't beat them, then join them approach to merging Christianity with Mithraism, citing that Constantine was truly converted and that he was a believer. Unfortunately, the prevailing evidence proves that Constantine was a cultic Mithra, sun god worshiper, till the end, while still also claiming Christianity. He played both sides of the fence. That I'm just giving you history. You can go look that up for yourself. To the day he died, he was in a sun god worshiper publicly. Not, this was stuff that his closest circle knew about it. It was a prevailing factor, and he also maintained the Christian status. Now, let me tell you something. I haven't found a single line yet where Constantine repented about anything. Where he came before the Lord and had a repentant heart, where he apologized and was sorry for transgression and come and breaking any of the commands of the Lord. He was a good guy. Unfortunately, being a good guy don't give you the status of being in right standings with God. What happens there as we repent and realize, unless we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, and the blood that He shed to be the propitiation, to take place, that atoning factor, we can be all the good guys we want. We're in trouble. We need a Savior. We need a Savior. And I thank God. Listen, don't ever get to the point where you have so much pride you won't say, I'm sorry. We've made mistakes. We've hurt God. Sometimes we broke. God, why did I do that? So if you sin, He said. If you sin, you have an advocate with the Father, and He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. I've used that more than one time. Anybody else use that? It's available for you. Should we just use it on a regular basis? No. He said, with grace abounding, shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Don't get in that practice. That's a bad behavior. What do? We realize that we're working on it every day to be better. And the way we do it, we have a set standard that not we follow our own standard, but we have a set of rules that He says in the scripture, and we follow those rules, and that's what helps us. So you can't ride we've heard those messages, huh? Riding both sides of the fence. I must have heard that 1,000 times growing up. The only thing, I don't think anybody knew what the fence was. Don't ride both sides of the fence. They didn't realize what it was. They picked something. Don't be as like him. Because if you're like him, you're on the wrong side of the fence. Come on this side. You got on that side, and we were in Mithraism. I mean, we're not even talking about the right fence. We just find somebody who's bad, and we don't want to be as bad as them. But they're going to hell, and we're not. So come on this side. Don't ride the fence. Really. You find out, you get on the other fence, side of the fence, and you go, okay, this ain't so bad. And that's what a lot of people did. They got on the other side and they said, this ain't bad. I can still do things. Pretty good. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, chapter 6, verse 14, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Think about that. Unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? And that's the whole point about it, is we don't want any rules. Lawlessness. Without law. Without Torah. That's what it means. No Torah. That's why Constantine forbid the reading of Torah. You can't read Torah. You can be Christian with us, but the way we do it, you can't read Torah. Sad thing is a lot of people went into that. And as a matter of fact, you got to eat like we eat. What Daniel did? What did Daniel do? He said, I don't want your meat. I'm not going to eat the king's delight delicacies. I'm going to serve the Lord. You ain't going to buy me with all your fanciness. That's what Daniel did. But we're going to promote you. You can promote me. Because if God wants me promoted, you can't stop it. But you won't promote me to get me to compromise into your stuff. That's what he did. So listen, if God promotes you, they can't stop it anyway. If God wants you there, nobody can stop that. But don't take that as, you know, you got to be very careful. Because that's how the enemy is. Come on. Come on, man. It's all good. It's all good. And before you know it, you're compromising. You're doing just what they're doing. Then you took a stand. He said, we're not going to do that. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 21. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. I don't know if you want to be on the other side of that conversation there. Now, who's he talking to? Is he going out in the street where there's no saved people? This is the first letter to the church of Corinth. They had big problems with this merger. Big problems. So what did Paul do in his first letter to the church at Corinth? What does he tell them? Hey, listen up. That's a Judge Judy moment right there. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. This is a church meeting. He says, you cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. So my question is, from Paul's perspective, is there a difference between the Lord's cup and the demon's cup? Is there a difference between the Lord's table and the demon's table? Is there a difference? He's making it clear to me that there's a difference. And we got to decide which one we're eating from. We got to decide which one we're drinking from. He said you can't do both. Can I tell you that a large, large percentage of the so-called Christian world partakes of both? And is that like, do we really think that that's just making God super, super happy at this time of the year? So hopefully you see what we're up against. We cannot mix things of God and things of the adversary and just pretend it's okay. So here we are. You know, you think about it and you go, wow. It doesn't get easier. But I hope that the way it's laid out, that you can kind of see it, look at it, take some information, go back, look at it for yourself. I'd be careful how you share this with people. You know, you've been sitting through an ongoing process of time. You sit down in these holidays as you're visiting, and you drop this, just what I said tonight, and you're going to be in a mess. So what do? You ask the Lord. Let him do it. You ask him for guidance. You think he's going to just throw you out there? But some people, they just want to come out, hey, this is what it is. It's bottom line. Well, you got to understand that he didn't do that to us. He took some time. You'd have to take some time. But you do have to stand. If you ask a direct question, you give a direct answer. That's what you do. If it's indirect, kind of beating around the bush, you do the same thing. Just say, hey, you know, here's some things. Here's some information. If you like to look at it, hey, later on at a different time, you know, we can get together. But right now, let's have this meal. Let's talk. Let's enjoy each other. So there's times that we have to be sensitive. And all you got to do, let me tell you, don't leave your house without saying, okay, Holy Spirit, you know my encounter. I tell them this every, you know my encounters today. You know what I need to say and what I don't need to say, and I just want to be sensitive to what you have. if I knew all my encounters ahead of time, I'd probably switch some of them. I don't know them. But the Lord does. And I'm asking to be led by the Spirit every day. Tell Him that. If you don't tell Him that every day and something happens, you get an opportunity when you get up. You get the 60 seconds inside the bed. Say, but my encounters, you know about them. You know the people I'm going to see, people I'm going to meet, people I know or don't know. Whatever it is you want me to say, help me to say it when you want me to say it. I've been working with this guy. He don't know it, but I've been working with him. And he said something the other day, and now I got my opportunity. Because he says, you know, there was a couple little pieces of latches that I got from him. And I said, he stopped, looked at the motor, and all we talking. I said, hey, you still never told me how much them latches are. I'll pay you right now. I got it right here. No, I don't worry about it. You're a preacher, man. You're good for it. You are good for it. I don't even know what it is. If I knew the price, I'd tell you. I have to check. I'm going to check my receipt. I said, okay. He said, you're doing good, man. You're doing things right. He said, you know what I've been doing? I've been trying to change my life, too, to do better. That's all I needed to hear. Because my next conversation with him is my opportunity. Because that's how I'm going to open it. I said, you know what you said the other day? I really been thinking about this. You said, I'm trying to change my life. And I'm going to say, you know what? Let me just tell you. You'll never get there. You'll never get there. That's why we have a Savior. He comes and changes us. And I've been thinking about that today. Because that's my next opportunity. You always give yourself available to that. And these are unchurched people. But you never know what's going to happen. You just listen. And I could have said it right then and there. I could have said it right then and there. But I didn't, and the reason I didn't, I said, look, well, why didn't I just say it right now? Right now, do it. And there'll be a time. The time's coming. Let the Spirit of the Lord, because the Spirit's working. How do I know? Obviously by the comment. Spirit's working. Spirit's doing the job, getting it right. Let the Spirit plow. Plant the seed. Sometimes we just want to throw seed out there. No plowing. Because we can. Guess what? You can. You got a mouth. You got a brain. You can do whatever you want. You can throw all the seeds you want out there. But who plowed? Who got the soil right? I'm saying, Lord, Holy Spirit, you know the people I'm going to meet. Prepare their hearts. Prepare their lives. I'm going to sow the seed. The soil's got to be prepared. Amen? So listen, thank y'all again to coming out for Bible study. I can't say it enough. We've got to encourage each other, encourage folks to know that Bible study is important. We say it all the time. Services, we have the services, they're all important. It's nice to listen to it, but it's also nice to be there because you can listen to it on your own time. You're going to get the same thing out of it, but there's a one when you hear, you have an opportunity to encourage each other. And I'm encouraged by you being here. And I know you're encouraged by the other people that you see here. So that's the opportunity that we lose. We lose that. Every time. Every time you do that, you miss that opportunity to be an encouragement to somebody and have somebody encourage you because you get to see them. And we're still hanging in there, growing strong in the Lord. So remember that. That's important. So let's remember the service for tour portion on Saturday evening. Their tour portions has been absolutely incredible. And also service on Sunday morning in the Seaboard series. How many have been enjoying the Seaboard series? So we moving right along with that. There's so much. You know, you don't even plan to say, well, okay, we're going to get ready. There's a few things we want to talk about. But then it just, as you keep looking at it, you go, wow, this thing's all about Seaboard. It's still going on today. So we just thank you for being here. And we love you and we'll see you next service. God bless you.